Now, I'd like to read a complete chapter tonight from the prophecy of Isaiah, and it will be chapter 12. Isaiah and chapter 12. We'll read the whole 6 verses of the 12th chapter of Isaiah. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And I just look back there to verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now we trust that God will help us to speak upon this very, very precious little passage of Scripture. Some people, when they approach the Bible, they find it to be a very dry book. They find it to be heavy reading and heavy going, and it seems to be very much to them a lackluster volume. Personally, in my own reading of Holy Scripture, I find it to be the greatest book upon earth. I never tire in examining its pages, and I like to read it with an eye to trying to understand what it says. And one of the ways in which I find it very fruitful to look upon Holy Scripture is to keep an eye open for the pictures of the Bible. One of the pictures that we have in this chapter, it's not the only one, and certainly not the only picture in the prophecy of Isaiah, but it's the picture that I'm interested in tonight, and I hope that you give me your attention. I want to speak about drawing water from the wells of salvation. Drawing water from the wells of salvation. Now, I'm not just going to speak about the wells of salvation. I will. But more. And I'm not just going to speak about the water that is in the wells of salvation. I will. But more. What I want you especially to be listening for tonight in the meeting is this third subject. How you can draw water from the wells of salvation. Because, after all, my dear friend, it really wouldn't matter how great the wells were. Or it wouldn't matter how good the water was if you never got anything out of it. And that's what we want to emphasize. And I will be emphasizing that in about half an hour from now or thereabouts. And all that I say will be leading up to that, because I want to tell you not only that you need salvation, not only that there is salvation plentiful and abundant, but I would like to emphasize from the Word of God how you can get it and go away from this hall knowing that you have it, because you're living in the good of it and in the joy of it. With joy shall ye draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, as we approach this picture, actually I should maybe have told you that the subject that I'm going to be using for the ministry of the Word of God, mainly to believers, but not by any means limited to Christians, during these nights, these Monday to Friday, is the subject of Bible wells. And we're going to think about drawing water from Bible wells. And as I say tonight, the subject fits in with that, drawing from the wells of salvation. And the first matter to be considered is this. Are Are these wells really necessary? Are they necessary? Are these wells which God has so graciously provided, are they an optional extra? Or do you really need them? I'll tell you just in a couple of minutes how God has gone about sinking these wells. And mind you, they're deep. But if God has taken the trouble to sink these wells, and make so many of them, and make them so abundantly full of refreshing drink, was that trouble and that expense necessary? Yes, it was necessary. And the reason it's necessary is this, dear friend, that we are living in a desert. In a desert. You say, well, you're showing your ignorance greatly now because we expected you would know that we are here, right here on a peninsula. Yes, I'm not thinking, dear friend, of where we are geographically, but I'm thinking of where we are spiritually. Do you see when sin entered into this world? And when sin left its ugly print upon God's fair and beautiful creation, sin has turned this world into a spiritual desert. Oh, they've got the big lights. They've got the big music. And they've got the colorful magazines. And they've got the big cinemas. And all that kind of thing. Oh, they have it all. For dear friend, when all is said and done, it's a desert. Whenever you look on every side, you can see nothing but the waste and the devastation and the emptiness which has been inflicted upon this world by the invasion of sin. And only God has provided these wells of salvation, every man Jack of Adam's seed would die of everlasting thirst. These wells are necessary because there's a desert situation. You know, you hear, you read, I saw it in the paper there a few weeks ago, one of the cases, in fact there were two or three cases, close together, people traveling across Australia there, and they hadn't left any word of where they were going, and do time scales and so on, and they missed them after a week or two, and eventually found broken down in a car or something, just gone, got lost and died, perished in the desert. Wonder, is there anyone here tonight? And you have begun to recognize the reality. My dear friend, this is it. The reality, when you strip away all the varnish, when you dim all the lights, when you put off all the music, and I say, the veneer is peeled away. Mind you, this poor old world is a very dark place. Dark, deserted, dusty. And you know, many people are going about across the landscape of life. Younger people here tonight, I want to throw out an appeal to you. Whatever you do, don't stagger your way across the landscape of life just lost. Lost in time. Lost for eternity. And people are lost I call them the sandstorms of sin. That's one of the great challenges of getting across the desert. Sometimes the wind can come and it can whip up a swirling star sandstorm and the whole thing becomes just a cloud. Gets into your ears and gets into your eyes and people very often get lost. You know, that's what's happening. The storm has hit Porta Bogey. I could give you some samples of those storms around Lurgan and County Armagh. And there's a whole whip up and there's a whole whirl and there's a whole piece of excitement and people think it's great. My dear friend, they're just staggering along lost because there's a desert. The dark, empty, dangerous, dreadful desert that has been caused by sin. And we need the wells. God has looked upon our situation. God has assessed our plight. He knew there were wells that we required for salvation and survival that we ourselves could never dig. And he has taken the full expense of digging those wells. And thank God we can say tonight in this meeting, they're full, they're free, and they're ready for the king. The wells of salvation, they are necessary because of the desert of sin. I want to maybe ask, come a little bit closer, just in this matter. You say, well, if God has so generously provided these wells, and if people so desperately need them, why is it that the majority of people don't seem to want them? You say there's something wrong there. You've told us that in the desert of sin, people need a drink. God has provided the wells that will give them a drink, but the people don't seem to want them. Well, one of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons is this, dear friend, that the devil has also been working. He has been working. And he has also seen the need of man because he helped to create the situation. And I want you to listen to this. And you know what I mean. I'm speaking now to some of you folks that are not saved. Don't you forget, dear friend, and I'm using this language. It's risky language, but I'm using, the devil's no fool. And you know what the devil has done? So that people who are dying in the desert, so that they won't go to God's wells, the devil has provided deceiving substitute. And he has so presented his substitutes that, unfortunately, the beguiled sons of Adam, they flocked to his substitutes in tremendous number. Sport, money, fame, licentiousness, politics. Yes, all those different things that just keep people happy and seem to give them a little drink of something for a while. But remember, I want to say, just in passing now, you said, all those substitutes, they never satisfy. They're very, very much, have attached to them a limited expiry term. They have a limited shelf life. I wonder, is there anyone, a young man or an older person, maybe a young lady in this meeting tonight, and you have been trying. And you have been drinking. And there you are in your teens and moving into your 20s, maybe out of 20s into 30s, or wherever you may be along the line of life. And you know, dear friend, there's an emptiness. And you have been frantically going about from one pot to the other to try and get the emptiness filled. And you're still on the move, but the thirst is still there. I want to invite you tonight. The wells are here. I will. The best the devil can ever give a man is a bottle. Or maybe. Maybe. Maybe he'd give a man a sister. That's a, you know the difference between a well and a sister? A sister, a well, is associated with a spring. And a well can demand made in that sense, but the spring comes from the bowels of the earth, something that has been put in there by the Creator that springs up. But you know, a cistern, in Bible language, was a box that was hewn out of the rock in order to catch rainwater. And the trouble with those man-made boxes is they weren't waterproof. And no matter how, you got a good rainfall, and you say, boy, this is it now. And you went back about 2 days later, and some crack in the side of the old thing, the half of it, seeped away. And what you thought was going to catch enough rainwater to keep you and your family satisfied with water for 6 months, it so seeped away, it was hardly enough to do for a week. That was a cistern. Now, let me tell you, dear friend, the best, that the devil can give a man is a sister. But you know, God's offering a well. A cistern has cracks. A cistern will seep away and leave the expectant visitor disappointed. But thank God a well will spring up with everlasting freshness. You know, there are wells of salvation. Now, I wonder with this ground that I have covered just now, wonder would there be somebody here in the meeting tonight and you would want to be saved? You want to be saved? What do you say, sure? What do you mean, like? What do you mean? You talk? What are you talking about? Sure, I want to be saved. Now listen. I have a firm conviction in my heart and soul, and from the Bible, and what I've seen and experienced as well, dear friend, the people who get salvation are the people who really want it. That's why later on I could turn over to a well-known passage in this very great book of Isaiah, and the invitation goes out like this: Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. You know what I would love tonight in Portavogue? I would love that sitting on these cushioned seats, there was the one thirsty sinner. And there are sinners here. He is sinners here. My dear friend, I would love that there were one thirsty sinner here. What is thirst? If I handed out an A4 sheet there and asked you to put down, everybody in the media knows what thirst is, but if you had to put it into words, it just makes me so easy. I remember coming to a meeting and sitting like some of you folks down there just as a boy. And I could hardly have put it into language that you would have understood. But I knew that deep down inside there was something I needed and there was something that I wanted. And I would love to get. Thirst is that inner longing. That inner longing for some external satisfaction. Dear friend, I would just love to see someone thirsty and yearning and a real desire to be saved. Now, when I talk about thirst in this spiritual sense and the desire to get the wells in the desert, a person who has said, the devil's deceitful substitutes will satisfy thee or deceive me no more. I want to be saved. Well, dear friend, if you have that real desire, you want to be saved. Now, there's a thing here that I see preaching about in Northern Ireland. I haven't been much around these parts, but I'm sure it's true here as many other parts. There are people, and they sort of always want to be saved, but they never get it. And it's a sort of a mystery. And some people in gospel meetings even say now, what is it like? I want to be saved and I don't get saved. Now listen, there's such a thing as wanting to be saved and wanting to be saved. Now I am convinced, should you never see my face or hear my voice again, dear people, let me say with all the conviction that my heart and soul can muster and with the book lying open before me, I believe that if you want to be saved with a capital W, a capital A, a capital N, and a capital P, if you really want to be saved, you'll be saved before this night's over. Nobody say, I want to be saved. Listen, dear friend, you're only fooling yourself. You either want it or you don't. You'll either want it and set your heart upon it and get it and go to heaven, or else you'll spend your day dreaming about it in land and hell. Now, what about being thirsty and a real desire? Oh, well, thank God there's the wells of salvation. Now, one great thing about these wells, and I've already hinted at it as I pass through there, one great thing about it is, dear friend, you don't need to dig them. I never was involved. I've seen others doing it. But I never was involved in digging wells. And I know enough about it to know this, that it's a hard work. It's big work.
and is very expensive work. And the wells of salvation that we are speaking about from this text of the Bible, the amazing thing is that they were all there, and they were all filled before any man in this building tonight was born. We had nothing to do. It wasn't your spade. And it wasn't my spade. And it wasn't human muscle that helped to make those wells. You know, these are wells that have been divinely formed. And these are wells that have been divinely created. And I have said they go down deep. They sink down deep. The wells of salvation. Just how much did they cost to sink these wells? You know, there's one passage that I think about in this connection, dear friend. We only have it in John's Gospel. You know there are four accounts in the New Testament. Four great accounts of the death of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. We love to read Matthew. We love to read Mark and Luke. And I suppose, if you're really being strictly correct, you shouldn't have favorite. I love them all. But I'll tell you this. Whether I'm right or wrong, there's a special place in my heart for John. You know, I love to read John 19, the account of the crucifixion. And in that account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, John is the only gospel writer that gives us the record of that cry of the Lord Jesus, "I thirst." Remember one of the books that I read a time or two. And there's a passage in it that tells about a soldier in the American Civil War. And he had quite a number of wounds inflicted upon his body and was lying stricken down on the field of battle. And some of the folks, after a good while, they came to attend to his wounds, and they were asking him about this in his arm and this in his leg and one thing or another. And he said to them in sheer agony, he said, "Look," he says, "forget about that." He says, "Can you get me a drink? Can you get me a drink?" He didn't survive. But he told them afterwards that the shrapnel in his leg was painful and the wound in his arm was painful. But he said there was none of his other wounds to compare with the pain of thirst. Thirst. Lying on the heated field of battle, longing for a drink. Dear friends, listen tonight. The making of these wells of salvation for beggars like ourselves, it was something that involved the Son of God in an expensive enterprise. He was on the cross at approximately 9 o'clock in the morning. At 10 o'clock he had suffered for an hour beneath an eastern sun. At 11 o'clock he had suffered for 2 hours. Noonday 3 hours. And almost 3 hours later he cried with agony that we will never be able to fathom its depths, "I thirst." And it wasn't. Let me tell you folks, and please in God's name believe me, dear friend, that thirst in the body of my blessed Savior, it was not just caused by the Son. Oh Jesus, Lord! Thou stoodest in my stead. God's holy wrath was poured upon thy head. For me, thou once was numbered with the dead. For me, O Lord, for me. The withering blast. People, let us speak with solemnity and sobriety about the solemn scenes of Golgotha. The withering blast and the fire of God's wrath against our sin. It came down upon his blessed Son. And the one who thirsted and died at Calvary, he was providing and filling for us. He was digging. I'm using figurative language. He was digging. And he was filling the wells of salvation. So that when we come to drink, we don't have any soil to move, we don't have any earth to shift, we don't have any labor of our hands, because as we preach in the gospel from Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. These wells have been provided at exceeding great cost. Maybe I should just emphasize at this stage in the meeting, dear friend, that there are wells of salvation. Not just one. Not just one. Oh, I tell you, I have been drinking out of these wells now for a good little bit over 30 years. God saved me in June 1970, and I've been drinking out of these wells. And to tell you the truth, I haven't got around them all yet. Remember it says about the children of Israel, when they come out from the dark bondage of Pharaoh and from the slavery of the river Nile, God brought them to a place where there were 70 palm trees and 12 wells of water. The wells of... I could tell you a dozen of them, dear friend. You know, the first one that I got to that night, the night that I got saved, the first one that I got to was just the well of eternal security. I was glad to get to it. Because the thing that troubled me as a boy was the sad fact that because of my sins I'm going to be in hell. And I can tell you folks, it was a very soft pillow for me to put my head down that night and know within my soul that the torment and the fire my eyes shall never see. And then I didn't even know at the time. I had also, you see that very same night? I didn't even know it, Peter. I didn't even know it. That very same night, as well as getting eternal security, I got a drink out of the well called eternal life. What are you getting more? You see that very same night? I not only got eternal security, I would never be in hell, I got eternal life, a capacity for heaven. I came to the third well. You know what it was called? Forgiveness of sins. My sins completely blotted out and covered beneath the atoning virtue of the precious blood. And then I came to the fourth well. You know what it was? Reconciliation with God. Brought into fellowship with God. And I'll not go on any further, because I just want to tell you. I want to tell you, dear friend, there's more than you could ever think about. Some people imagine that if you trust Christ and you get saved, it's a dry business. Don't you buy it. There are men out there say, and throwing out a rope over a venture, I dare say there are men sitting somewhere around the front here, not too far from me, and they're 60 years in Christ, or near enough. And you, some of you people, know them much better than I do, and you know, dear friend, that salvation's a bigger thing to them tonight than at first they trusted Christ. Water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, dear friend, don't you be thirsting in the desert of sin. And if you really want to be saved, thank God you can get saved tonight, because the well's ready. The well's ready. It has been dug and filled, and it's now being offered. But I promised you that there was a side that I wanted to speak about. I hope you followed my little message. There's a desert. There's deceitful substitutes the devil has provided. They're no good. If somebody has a desire, God at great expense has dug a great diversity of wealth. But then it says in this little text that's before me tonight, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now I want to get down to this matter, because I feel that many that come to gospel meetings, and I'm trying to help you, dear friend, we'll just leave the preaching now for 5 minutes, and I want to talk to you. Many that come to gospel meetings, that's the one point that really they get stuck on. And they say, I need to be saved, and I know there's nothing in the world to help me, and I can't be in heaven without salvation, and with my sins and without Christ, I'll be in hell forever. They know all salvation provided through the death of Christ alone and nothing else.
But how do I give it?
How do I give it? And there's one thing, dear friend, if you're going to get any benefit from these wells, you have to draw. And you have to drink. And always remember, I'm speaking here to fishermen, and mainly in somewhere or other, but some of you have enough background in the farming community to know, at least those of us who are linked with that kind of thing know it. You know how you drench a cow? Well, you men know to take the beast and butcher it and pull its snout back and drench it. And it doesn't want it, but you push it into it. Some of you are smiling, some of you know a little bit of it. You know, dear friend, I want to tell you tonight, for your comfort, God never drenches people with salvation. God never takes people, now we believe in the workings of the Holy Spirit. Believe all of that. But God doesn't take people by the neck, pull their head back, and say, no, I know you don't want it, but I put it into you. No, dear friend. People get salvation not by being drenched. People get salvation by drinking. Now, drinking's a voluntary act. What I want to ask you tonight is this. What is... You've got the water. You've got the well. You've got the thirst. Now, there's one thing we need to get. We need to get the pitcher. Now, the pitcher is the thing that dips down in, takes out of the well what the person needs, and then he drinks it out of the pitcher. If it were a children's meeting, I would be asking you, what is the pitcher? What is the pitcher that links my soul with the water? My dear friend, that's an important little vessel. It's empty. It's not a golden pitcher. It's not a silver pitcher. There's nothing special about it, and it's just an earthen pitcher. But you know you need it. I heard a brother preaching once on John. I heard plenty of brethren preaching on John 3:16. But I did hear a brother preaching once, and in this way. He said at the start of his message that in John 3:16 he could see three things, amongst others, but there were three things that impressed him on that occasion. He said he could see a reservoir. Secondly, he could see a river. And thirdly, he could see a pitcher. And I couldn't see anything. But I did see them before he was finished. Now, John 3:16, you know it as well as I know it, and as well as he said the reservoir. God so loved the world. That's the heart of God. That's absolutely full of the great reservoir, the streams of eternal grace. It all starts up there. Then he said the river. Out of that reservoir of eternal love, he said, there flows the river of God's gift, that he gave his only begotten Son. Now he says, that brings the reservoir in the great river down to us. Then he says, there's a pitcher. And I listened to this, for I wondered, where's this pitcher? You know what he said the pitcher is? He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I thought it was helpful. He says, thus the sinner comes, there's the reservoir in the heart of God. There's the great river in the gift and sacrifice of Christ. And he said, the sinner comes with his pitcher. He can never empty the reservoir. And he can never empty the river. But he says, with his pitcher, he can just take out as much as he needs. And it satisfies him. Whosoever believeth in him. Dear friend, listen. Oh, some of you people that want to be saved tonight, let me tell you this. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. There it is. The streams are flowing free. The wells are springing up absolutely abundant. I want to make a challenge just before we close the meeting. Is there one person just where you sit tonight in the meeting, you will say, that's what I've been looking for years. I'm thirsty. I'm needy. I'm guilty. I don't have to make the well. But remember, dear friend, you have to take the well. Now you put in your pitcher. Now you never drink the whole well. Let me tell you this. Do you see when you have taken your bit out, and I hope that will be tonight, when you have taken your bit out, dear friend, there'd just be as much left as if you never touched it. And you see when the next million have taken a drink and say, oh, I got my drink, and it satisfied my soul, and it met my need, and it was, you know, there's some people come, I think they come with a big, big picture. I was only coming with a 12-year-old boy's picture. And it was very earthenware. But dear friend, they just put it in. As far as maybe come, and they think they need, and they put in a big picture. Don't worry about the picture, but whatever you do, get it in. Get it in and take out. For whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus told the people in one of those days when they were milling around in their great multitudes, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know, drinking couldn't be simpler. You take it out and you drink. Take it out of the well and you take it in. Yourself. You take out of Christ and you take it for yourself and put your trust in him. And dear friend, you can have a whole Christ to yourself and you can enjoy him forever. Whatever you do, draw water out of the wells of salvation. Drinking is very, possibly the first thing you did when you got into this world. You couldn't read algebra. And you couldn't handle the keyboard of a computer. But before you could do any of those things, before you could even eat, you know what you did? You took a drink. And you see, when it gets to the end, and your body's just about to finish, as far as this works, Mr., you know what I mean? And you think you couldn't lift that book. And when you couldn't reach out and take a box of tissue, you know what you'll still be able to do? Still be able to take a drink. Somebody wet your lips, and you'll take a wee drink. And God has told us that the simplest act of a newborn infant and the last act of a dying man in his helplessness, he says that's how a person gets saved. It's drinking. Oh, my friend, do what Bonner said in that hymn. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I used to hear Mr. McShane tell of many, many years ago in Canada. There was a man in the prairies in Canada, in the heat out there and so on in the summertime, and he was waiting for a train. Very lonely, not another person to be seen on this platform. And he was just dying for a drink. And he walked up and down the platform, he was just parched. And he suddenly saw a sign at the other end to drink. And he walked away up, and there was just a spout came out of the wall. There was no turn top or anything, just a spout came out of the wall, and the sign beneath it said, stoop and drink. And the man looked at the sign, and he looked at the spirit. Sure, it's a little tough there. And he walked away back down to this platform, and he thought about it, and he was still dying for a thing, and he came back up, and he kicked the wall at the bottom. Straight and drink. Sure, there's no tap. There's a spout. And he walked down again and he came back up and he stood and looked at it for a while He says, say a stupid thing. And he finally says, Alfred. He looked around to make sure nobody was watching. And he says, Alfred. And he stooped down. And just as he got down, he heard it in the water sort of come up out. And some of those laser lights or something had just caught him. But he stooped down. And he got all he needed. Just when he did what he was told. And you friend, you're kicking at the bottom, you're kicking the bottom of the pot. You're twisting around, you're looking, and you're examining, and you're wondering, and you're saying there's nothing that I can turn on. No, dear friend, there's nothing you can turn on. But I'll just say to you tonight, the very well of salvation's at your side. May God grant you a stupid drink. Dear friend, just do what you're told, and take it in. And thank God, it says, with joy!
Yeah, but I'm afraid if I got saved, it'd be awful miserable. It'd be awful miserable, and you'd have to go about with a long face. And you wouldn't go here, and you wouldn't go there, and your life would just be buried in rules and regulations.
I'll have told you, but it says with joy.
With joy! Shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation?
I can tell you people tonight, you may not believe it, but I hope you don't find it difficult to believe. I am one of the happiest men on earth. Because I tasted from the fresh water of God's great salvation wells. And I'll be drinking from them for all eternity. There's nothing like it. I can guarantee to you folks, dear friend, that Christian life's the best. And I want to say, it's not just the best life, it's the only life. For anything else is not life at all. It's with joy! Oh, the joy! It vibrates with joy. I was telling them there, the other night I read in the paper, Michael Jackson, a good old friend of mine, you know, he came back there from one of his big tours, and they had made 70 million. This is before he got caught in his latest scandal. And he wrote down in his journal in a big palatial suite in New York, he said, I feel I must be the most miserable man on earth. He just got 70 million. I tell you, dear friend, you see the people in the world that hit the big time? When the lights go out and the crowds disperse, the whole thing's just left with an awful sense of emptiness. There's nothing in it. The world has nothing left for thee. It has no new, no pure delight. Oh, try the joys that Christ can give. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Please, dear friend, as I stop, I've just one more thing to say. It'll take me 30 seconds to say it. But before I say it, I'm appealing to you. The wells are full. The desert around us is absolutely empty. Don't go on, dear friend, or you'll die in your sins. God has provided in Christ the springs of eternal joy. Tonight you put in your pitcher. Take it for yourself, and you'll be saved and satisfied forevermore. Drawing water from the wells of salvation. What I wanted to tell you is this. You see, if you don't, you'll not worry, you'll not be drenched. And you'll not be forced. You'll be encouraged, and the Holy Spirit will touch your heart. My dear friend, it'll be your own act, just as drinking. Now, if you don't, you'll not be forced. But all I want to tell you is this. You're under no obligation, in that sense. But dear friend, if you die like that, just bear it in mind. I haven't preached about hell tonight, but some of you people are likely going to be there. So just keep it in mind. So that you'll not be too badly upset when you go, dear friend, that when you go down to hell, not only will you never have a well, you'll not even have a drop. Not even have a drop. Now, some of you boys and girls, I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared to go to hell? Because mine is a dry existence. Hell's a dark and a deep and a dry place. Dreadful thought in hell to burn. No joy, no light, no drink, no relief. Just the blackness of eternal pain.
Mind you, dear friend, it's a bleak existence without Christ. Let me give you the alternative and then we'll pray. With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. May God grant someone will get the drink tonight in this meeting. Shall we pray? Our Father, we commend to thee thy precious word. We thank thee for the well of eternal life which has been deposited in the hearts of so many of us here. We bless thee that we have left the water pots, the empty water pots, the clay jars of earthly pleasure, and we have found a fullness in thy well-beloved Son. We pray that some of these poor souls tonight might feel their thirst, might feel the dearth, and might even come and taste and see that the Lord is good. We thank thee for these full and free wells, and pray that many tonight may taste the living waters. Help us as we leave the meeting. We commit the audience and thy precious word into thine hand. We pray that this picture will be implanted upon some heart and will be productive unto salvation. We ask for these mercies as we give to thee our thanks in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to sing just a little of, is it 548, I think, is the number. Yes, 548. Ho ye that thirst, approach the spring, where living waters flow free to that open fountain all, without a price may go. Now,